I want to ask you something. I want you to recall for a moment the greatest tragedy or the greatest distress in your life. Think about it for a minute. We've all had some really bad experiences at one time or another, even some that may have endured for a long time, some episodes that may have changed the direction of your life. Think about that for just a minute. And I can imagine that, like me, you may have cried out to God at one point, and in your distress you said, "Why, Lord?" Right? "Why me, Lord?" You ever done that? Why does God allow suffering? Why, God, are you allowing me to suffer? He doesn't hear me. Never had a moment like that? Today's teaching, today's readings touch on that very human reality. Suffering does happen. So what do we do with it? The book of Job is perhaps one of the greatest pieces of literature in the history of salvation. Everyone should read the book of Job. Job had been prosperous and well off. He was faithful to God. He was known. He was famous for his faithfulness to God. In the story, the way it begins, the devil told God that Job was only faithful because he was comfortable and well off. But he would turn and curse God if he were to suffer. That's the basis of the story. And that background sets up the story of Job's suffering. Job did suffer. Job did question God, but he never turned away from God. He never denounced God. Job was distraught in his suffering, and he was challenged by his friends and acquaintances to renounce or rebuke God for his suffering. Job remained faithful to God despite everything. In that book, God never speaks to Job except at the end of the book, and that's what we have here today. The Lord addressed Job out of the storm and said, "Who shut within the doors the sea when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling hands, when I set limits for it and fastened the bar of its door and said, 'Thus far shall you come, but no more, and here shall your proud waves be stilled.'" No man can know the mind of God. Before creation, all was chaos. But God was already in control. God himself brought order out of chaos. That's the first two chapters of Genesis. He even created the sea and he set its limits. Man will never know how. Get over it. We're not going to know how. And when God created man and woman, he gave everything to them in that garden. He set limits for them, like telling them they could have anything they wanted to eat in the garden, but not to eat of the fruit of one specific tree. as Eve explained to the snake, the devil in Genesis, it's only about the fruit of the trees in the middle of the garden that God said, you shall not eat it or even touch it, or else you will die. But the snake said to the woman, you certainly will not die. God knows well that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods who know good and evil. One of the most basic temptations in our original sin is our desire to be like God, as smart as God, to know everything God knows. That's the basis of our pride. And one of the most important criteria of our faith is that there are things we cannot know and only God can know. God tells Job, only God was present when the sea was created. Who else but God knows or has the power over the sea? In the gospel, we find a curious moment in the relationship between Jesus and his disciples. They're still getting to know him. Remember, they were fishermen. They knew this sea, the Sea of Galilee, and had been out on it many times, caught in storms. They were not new to the storms of the Sea of Galilee, which could be really rough, the way the winds blow in that area. But apparently this storm was much worse than anything that they had ever experienced. And they were terrified. The boat was taking on water. The boat was sinking. Jesus had been preaching parables all day long, and he was exhausted. A violent squall came up and waves were breaking over the boat so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. Now the disciples could see themselves in a desperate, even life and death situation, out of their control, not unlike the situations that Job found himself in. They woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, quiet, be still. The wind ceased, and there was great calm. And then he asked them, why are you terrified? Here was God, controlling the sea and the weather like in creation. Only God could do this. Man did not know how. The lesson is, as in Job had, bad things happen. We know not why. But for the faithful, why? And Jesus' question has so much sense. Why are you terrified? If you believe, why are you terrified? Remember, Jesus said every time he went into a group of people, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear weakens faith. The devil knows that. Fear weakens faith. You don't want to be terrified. And we're constantly challenged to remain steadfast in our love of God and our faith in God, even though we go through overwhelming challenges and dangers from time to time. We will all face end-of-life issues, every one of us, either with loved ones or for ourselves. We're all going there. That's where we're headed. That's our gospel, the cross. We must learn to be steadfast in our faith. There's no escaping. Suffering happens. And there's a great conflict in the entire universe between good and evil. And you can't turn your back on it, and you can't walk away from it, you can't hide from it. There's this great conflict in the universe between good and evil, or Jesus would not have been crucified. Jesus accepted the suffering on our behalf to save us. And in suffering, we learn patience. We learn to be like him. We learn love and faith despite all the dangers. That's what our faith teaches us. Today, I think of fathers. Fathers will have moments of great fear and distress. Fathers will experience the fear and distress of their families, their spouses, and their children. Fathers will be called upon to say to their families, "Don't be afraid. It's going to be all right. Why are you terrified?" Even when they themselves are fearful. Even when the fathers themselves are terrified, they are still responsible for being steadfast, firm examples of in faith and hope in God, and for holding their families together. That's what families do. That's what fathers do, is hold their families together. Perhaps there are financial fears or diseases, or employment issues, or problems with spouses or children. Families will be tested. It happens. Fathers are given to us to be anchors, strong and faithful for us. Today on Father's Day, we give thanks for our fathers who guided us from infancy to adulthood. Perhaps we disrespected them from time to time, although we always loved them. Our fathers often taught us our faith and fidelity to God and to one another and the importance of family. God gave fathers as examples of his love for us. We learn from fatherhood about God. We pray for blessings upon our fathers, living and dead. The story of the storm and Jesus in the boat with his disciples is also a reminder to all of us. Our church is like a great boat being tossed on the seas, the waves of the world. That's been seen in the writings of the fathers of the church since the very beginning. It's the church against the world and the world against the church, always trying to change what the church is. Jesus is in the church. Jesus is in the boat with us. Stay in the boat. We will all observe great turmoil surrounding our lives, surrounding the church. Stay in the boat. Remain in the sacraments.